Hey, friends. There's a few dates in particular coming up, which I'd like to see as many 12 and a half as possible in the next few months. March 15th and 16th, I'll be headlining Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento. April 5th, I'll be at the Last Best Comedy Club in Bozeman, Montana. I'd love it if we could get some 12 and a half in the crowd for those particular dates. And the first week of May, I'll be at the MGM in Las Vegas. Be fun to party with you there. TJ will be in Syracuse February 16th and 17th. Raleigh, North Carolina, the Improv, March 8th and 9th. And if you want more details about his dates, go to tjmillerdoesnothaveawebsite.com. And enjoy the show. Thanks for listening.
Answering the questions you don't have. Deep conversations in the shallow end. Two men with lots of ideas and less than an hour. Intelligent-ish. This is Cashing In with TJ Miller.
Testing. So we're in a taxi, and you know the show's become a little bit more like Where's Waldo?
Is it? Here's the question: is it a taxi or is it a cab?
I'm gonna call it. You know what? That's a triple banger lightning round question.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Triple banger lightning round.
I had a classic episode queued up for us. We're gonna do that on another occasion. Instead, we're gonna be in a taxi going to a horse. Jumping competition.
Again, are we going to a taxi or a cab?
I think we're in a taxi.
Have you ever seen an equestrian, as I call it, an equestrian event?
How could I forget?
That doesn't answer the question at all.
Exactly. That's what I...
exactly. And the other question is, how do you feel about horses? Because my wife grew up on a horse farm.
Yeah. She's the exception to the rule that horse people are...
Barely people.
Are barely... They can be annoying, horse people. Because everything tends to end up revolving around their horsiness. They bring up their horse very often.
It's a lot of horse
they
talk.
They wear a lot of horse
talk.
You know,
it's a fair amount of horseplay.
It's a lot of horseplay. They bring up a lot. They wear outfits that revolve around their horsiness.
Now, are you a seatbelt guy?
I'm going to put a seatbelt on inside this taxi,
not
cab.
In general.
Not a cab.
In general, are you a seatbelt guy?
Yeah, I think seatbelt seems like a smart thing to do.
Kate is interesting. She wears a seatbelt when she drives, but doesn't wear one when she's being driven. What's the logic behind that?
That's something I did not know about her.
That is... so bizarre that she doesn't trust herself, essentially. No, I invited a clown and let him express himself, okay? Yeah. Unless our drive, but you know, that's the question. Do you not trust yourself such that you need to wear a seatbelt? And then how
a restraint?
Well, it tells.
Is it a restraint or a seatbelt? Triple Banger Lightning Round, question two. Question two.
Well, let's
first,
go back
question
to the
one,
first.
Cab versus taxi. That's
and
taxi.
What do you say taxi?
Yeah,
why?
Yeah. Cab just seems too quaint to me.
Too quaint?
Yeah.
I think you mean too informal.
Hmm.
Would you say?
It actually seems too cute to me. I go
and
taxi.
So I'm going to try again. Solomon? Okay. Do you refer to this vehicle as a taxi?
It's our
or
first,
as a cab?
It's our guest. All of them.
Oh, no. Together.
He does both. The dual.
Taxi cab.
The hyphen.
So you just go taxi.
Yeah.
I like taxi cab. I think he's got it right. And he is the expert.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like taxi cab, and I like to refer... Solomon, would you say that... would you refer to yourself as a cabbie? A driver or a chauffeur?
Driver.
Right there, smack in the middle.
Yeah.
I like
it. So, I'm not sure what we're allowed to talk about with this particular episode, but is it possible we could talk about the poster? Because I think it's... Or do you want to...
No, of course.
Because I think it's one of the funniest things you've done. TJ does a lot of funny things on the road. In this particular
trip... You know what Kate
trip,
said? Kate goes, she goes, yes, I love that you're doing the poster. And she goes, and you should make this your thing.
This is
you should
funniest
do something
thing.
In every green room. And she said, and it would make a great book.
Yeah.
And before I answered, she said, and a book. That's classy. Anything else is not. So right away, she destroyed the possibility.
She was wearing a seatbelt when she said that.
You know, she doesn't show much self-restraint.
So
this is TJ Miller, BBC America.
The thing about working with TJ is it's always 102.3, the taxi
the
cab.
The
movement on wheels. One thing about working with you is
106.2, Dad's Home for Christmas.
You never know what you're getting into. On this particular trip, we're in Nashville, Tennessee, which, by the way, Nashville
is a bachelorette
party. Nashville's it's a city inside a bachelor party, a bachelorette party. Nashville's the type of place where invariably you'll see people riding a bicycle while smoking a cigarette.
You're really trying to make this work.
Yeah. You know, there's certain places where you see things like that. Riding a bicycle while smoking a cigarette. Because, you know, you want to have strong lungs.
Gotta have the
when you get the cancer. When you get the cancer.
You gotta have the strongest
lungs. The strongest lungs.
Oh, I saw someone on Broadway Street.
Yeah.
And I said, can I take a picture of you guys? Because I was downtown taking pictures. So can I take a picture of you guys? And it was a couple. And they were both older. I'd say they were in their 60s. He was wearing a cowboy hat. You know, Silver Fox, as they call them.
Yeah.
Smoking a cigarette. And she goes, we're celebrating today. I said, what are you celebrating? He's cancer free. And then he took a long drag of that cigarette.
To celebrate.
And I said, hey.
So when you work with TJ's,
I said, hey.
Generally,
what's
you're not sure what to expect. And on this particular trip, TJ showed up in a white...
That's for you.
Thank you. I'm not going to eat while we drive. But
why
is
that?
Well, we're in the middle of a hot and tasty, spicy, buttery pod, so it's hard for me to eat and enunciate.
You're a loss.
But on this particular trip, TJ showed up with a white truck filled... with pyrotechnics. Is that correct?
Yes. A very small truck.
Small truck, but the entire back seat, back area, completely filled with fireworks. Because it is October as we record this. So, you know, it makes sense to have as much fireworks as possible when you show up to the show in Nashville.
Well, I drove from Birmingham, Alabama, and, you know, between you and me.
And it really is between you and me and 12 and a half others.
That's true. Between you and me, on the way up, I said, I got to stop somewhere. And I thought, I saw the Jesse Owens Museum.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
You don't know who Jesse Owens is?
No.
Yeah.
And then the Space and Rocket Museum in Huntsville, Alabama. It was 30 minutes away. I couldn't have that much time.
Yeah.
But Larry's Firework Outlet, right next to Bucky's Truck Stop.
That's what she zoned in on. Yeah.
Only an addition of 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So I went. About $350 on fireworks, which I think will pay for itself because everybody's buying more peanut butter. Because listen to the sentence I just said. Everybody's buying more peanut butter.
None of it makes any sense.
Because they get to see the fireworks show.
Yeah.
And tonight, I think I'm going to charge $25 for each peanut butter. See how many people I can get to. Because now I've really got the fireworks dialed in.
You do.
I have a whole run of show
the
for
fireworks,
tonight.
The fireworks happen
I'm
after
doing
the show.
Spinners in the beginning. Then fountains, then Roman candles, and then the finale, which is a snow cone and about 500 black cats.
The maiden voyage was shooting off, I'm not sure what kind that was, but you shot one off a wall straight back
portrait,
towards the crowd.
At the portrait of comedians. At the portrait of Bert Kreischer.
Yeah.
And now I want you to tell people Zanies has portraits of famous comedians on the walls outside of the building, but you had an interesting take on the accuracy
of
those very said portraits.
Yeah, they're not caricatures, which is the hardest word for me to say, caricatures.
Well,
they're not, and they're not supposed to be. And so they're supposed to be fairly accurate, and that's where they went wrong.
And that's when the problems began.
They kind of stick between... They're in between being accurate and not being accurate at all, so you have no idea who you're looking at for the most part.
Yeah.
It's a giant wall, two giant walls
what
mediocre portraits.
What character traits do you think the artist had wrong? What was the most off? Because I know what it is, I think.
Oh. The bodies?
only heads.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, if they had bodies... It might have felt more realistic. Their heads are just too big. A head is not meant to be a mural. I think the size of a person's head...
It was the size and scale.
...should not exceed that of what his body would have been on that level. Human heads aren't meant to be that large.
I think it's the noses.
Even Easter Island didn't go that far.
And I don't understand that reference. I don't... What do you mean?
Weren't there some heads on... Was it Easter Island that had the heads?
The tiki heads?
Yeah. Where is that?
I don't think either of us should ever speak of this again. I think it's the noses.
Yeah? That's where they messed up?
Between Chelsea Handler, George Lopez, all of them, the noses are just off. It's not the right proportion, I think is what we're going to say.
You're saying it's disproportionate.
So, and do you think that's off-putting to the... Do you think that's off-putting to the patrons?
Not at all. I don't think it affects people coming and going.
You don't think they even think
of it?
It's
a great club. I don't think it has any effect on anything. And to the artist, if they're listening, because I'm sure they are.
Is he resting on his
laurels? It's still more impressive than anything.
Is Brian Dorfman, the owner, is he resting on the laurels in the sense that is he saying, I don't need these to be accurate because...
I don't think it would make or break someone coming into a comedy club if the murals on the outside are perfectly accurate or not.
So then there you go.
That's it.
Now, these are the famous chicken tenders, which throughout the weekend we've been saying those can't be good. They don't look good. They're frozen. And yet everybody who works there said best chicken tenders I've ever had.
Yeah.
Even the manager. And I like... No, that's a great ringtone. That's a good sort of score to this podcast.
So you show up with the fireworks.
Well,
you shoot the first one off a wall, Bert Kreischer's face.
You're not going to try one, but I got to say these chicken tenders.
Yeah, I had them yesterday, but
they're great.
Just one bite, but they the fireworks shot back off the wall towards the crowd, and I thought we had a cautionary tale on our hands. People were screaming and running for cover.
What a nightmare! I mean, if that had blinded someone, that would have ended my career.
When I watch people set off fireworks.
But it didn't. And it was a cautionary tale. So now we're much safer.
When I watch people shoot off fireworks, and I'm really thinking of you and the opening act, watching you guys just hold them in the air and they shoot off into the sky, I completely understand why they're not legal in all the states.
Really?
Yeah. It seems extremely dangerous.
How dangerous?
Dangerous enough that every year people lose some limbs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they're not manufactured in a place or in a way that you can trust them.
Yeah.
You know?
So that
But they're
happened.
Fun.
Yeah. So the fireworks was one thing. But then TJ came up with this idea. Now, the green room has lots of posters from... Yeah? You want to set this up?
Here we go. No, listen. All right. Next time it rings, you're welcome to leave it on because we love the music.
Yeah, Raina keeps calling. We see it on his screen.
And that's okay. You know, they want to talk. So, this started at the West Edmonton Mall. And I'm going to try and have Miles bring this up.
Okay. You have pictures of that also.
I have pictures of that also.
Okay.
So, in the West Edmonton Mall, there's a club called, hold on 1 second. Hold on. We will find you! Exclamation mark. Is there anything we should say when we talk to people to try and get to you on time? Question mark. We are about 10 minutes away! Exclamation mark. Okay. So, oh, this is so fun. We're gonna. This will be a cliffhanger. So, at the West Edmonton Mall, there's a club called Rick Bronson's Comic Strip.
Some people just call it Comic Strip without the Rick Bronson part.
Slowly, and they shouldn't. Slowly, but surely, that club has descended into a dilapidated, I'm saying that correctly, a dilapidated house of comedy.
And you're saying it's a caricature of what it used to be.
With all the wrong proportions. This is BBC One, Ding Ding, on K-Rock,
this
Number
is
Whoops.
Dingle Dangle. Twice again.
So one of the things is year after year, I would come and this at the bottom of the wall where there should be a runner or a piece of plastic, I don't know, had been ripped off. It didn't make sense. Do you see?
Yeah, yeah.
And I would make fun of them every single year. I would go, what is going on that you guys won't spend the $120 to fix this? And they would go, well, we're going to, you know, we're going to redo the entire green room. It's in the green room. And the green room is a glorified locker room that is disgusting. And it's got bright, terrible fluorescent lights, everything. So this last year, I decided I'm going to install a plastic runner on, I mean, look at that. One time we left food in there at the end of the night. In the morning, it was still there. No one cleaned it. Why would they? Look at that. It's a disaster. I'm going to have Miles put this up. It's disgusting there, okay? And, I mean, CJ Sullivan and I were there. He's putting... I mean, look at how disgusting
looks
it
like
is.
He
what
lives
is
there.
That? Yeah. What is that? And so I sort of showed. So what I did was I went to Home Depot, got all the stuff because I'm a handyman. You guys know that from the table. I'm a handyman. So I went and I got everything. And here's a time lapse video. You ready?
And you're gonna put. Where are we gonna put this?
Online. So that's the original. Okay. This is all beyond the Facebook page, etc. And I showed it, and I went, I got it, and look at what I did. Here's the time-lapse video.
It's like a cooking show.
And I installed, and I didn't do it perfectly,
see what I did
kind
there?
Of it as a joke. Yeah, it was great. I'm going to miss it. I'll go back and watch again. And I installed the runners and the entire thing, and I said, I'm not going to tell them, and I bet you they don't notice for months, maybe a year. You see this? Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
I had to saw certain parts of it. I installed it with hammer, nail. I bought all
this
stuff.
I'm not
sure
what I'm more impressed with, the actual carpentry or
the joke
time-lapse video.
Time-lapse video. So, and then I did it, and it was done. And that's what it looks like. You ready?
Yeah.
Hold on. There it is. Pretty amazing, right?
I mean, you're making tables.
Look at that.
You're fixing.
I got that done.
That's
it's amazing.
That's handy.
So, and I left a little bit. Not done, just as a joke.
Yeah.
So I say, okay, they're not going to notice this for who knows how long, right?
Yeah.
2 days later, the manager, Dino, who's a funny guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't care about the club, clearly. 2 days later, he texts me, goes, did you guys install the floor runners? If you did, you did a shit job. Which is the funniest thing he could have texted, for sure.
Yeah.
And so that joke was sort of foiled, but still really funny.
Yeah.
And I said to them, I'm not going to play the club again until you reimburse me for the materials. I'm not going to charge you for labor because you were the first place to headline me.
Yeah.
Do you hear how I said that? I said that in a way that I expected you to laugh, and you didn't. And I look back with regret.
I'm so upset that you didn't laugh at the cooking video.
So now tell me.
Cooking show.
Tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me. What do you think of this joke that we're about to do at Zany's? And do you want to set it up? We're going to be there in 4 minutes. You want to set
it
up?
Well, this is going to be a one-part episode. I don't think it'll be a cliffhanger. I think we're gonna get out of the car and watch some horses jump.
And then
we're
going to
get back in the car and talk about this same thing on the way home. But I can set it up by saying that inside the comedy club, there's lots of posters in the green room of different events that have been sold out at a theater nearby, like a big, probably, how many seats do you think that thing holds?
Oh, I mean, it's Nate Bargatze, and it's three posters saying he sold out the Ryman Theater.
Right.
And then it's Russell Peters, and then it's Chelsea Handler, and then it's Jerry Seinfeld,
New Year's Eve. You
it's
know,
all these huge comedians and their incredible accolades, and every other comedian is supposed to come and to relax before the show.
Yeah,
they have to look at names of people who are more successful than them.
Right, right, right.
What is more encouraging for your performance than showing you that you will never be able to achieve what these other comedians have achieved? They even have posters of musicians.
Yeah, they do.
Who sold out.
Yeah. None of them have anything to do...
anything to do with the club.
None of them have anything to do with Zanies itself, as far as I can tell.
It's so discouraging.
Now, I think there might be a couple posters with Zanies.
I don't think there's one.
Really? We're going to have to check that tonight. But the bottom line is it's mainly a big theater nearby. What theater is it? Do you remember?
Ryman Theater is
one of them. Yeah, the Ryman Theater.
But it's quite a few. They almost are saying...
this is Nashville.
We've had every level of success except for yours.
In Nashville, yeah.
That's what they were saying.
So TJ decided to have a really great graphic artist do a poster for him.
Mark Shart, Shart Salad.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
And
really funny.
The poster...
so I said, can you make... I sent him pictures of all the other posters. I said, can you make a poster that looks like these? And it says that I sold out Zany's Comedy Club, just the comedy club, on Thursday.
On Thursday. And that's the joke, really. So it sells out on Thursday. TJ's going to... have the poster made. He's going to frame it. He's going to put it up there tonight in the green room without them knowing.
Without them, I'm never going to tell anyone. And my wonderment is...
but that's my concern.
How long...
will people...
how
if you're listening to this podcast,
know.
Don't tell Zanies. We'll know it was you.
Don't tell Zanies. But the question is, how long can I get away with that being there before they notice? I think they'll notice within the next day... or two. Maybe that night.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It's Raina.
As we approach the horse stables. Ah, dang it. As we approach the horse stables, we're going to keep you guys in tune, in touch with the result of this green room prank. Where would you rate this in terms of green room or comedy pranks? Is it up there with John Fox ejaculating in the mayonnaise at every comedy
condo?
Oh,
it's much more impressive than that.
Because I also have a joke that I'm going to do at the condo, and you don't know about it yet because apparently, did you look around the condo? Did you eat anything?
Not today, no.
So that joke is already placed in the condo somewhere.
And I'm concerned it has something to do with fireworks, and I have been concerned all weekend.
It is not fireworks.
Okay.
But it's pretty good. So here we are arriving at the horse stable. The event starts in about 5 minutes.
It's
it was very
jumping.
Important for me to get here on time. I skipped the Jason Nash show, a good friend of mine, a funny comedian who is doing a 4 p.m. show. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's all ages. And we'll be right back.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
A lot of four-leggers out there. That's what I call them, four-leggers.
I mean,
that made me
human struggling to stand up straight.
That didn't make me stand out at all amongst the horse people when I called them. That's a good four-legger. Nice four-legger.
To Zanies.
Right, that didn't make me stand out at all.
I don't, you know, I think the thing that made you stand out is that you were in shorts with a backpack full of podcast equipment carrying two boxes of cold chicken tenders. Everybody here has a net worth of over seven figures.
Look, I'm
just
glad.
And the two of us are walking around. I look like a railroad man.
I'm just glad the horses aren't as drunk as the people. Because there's a lot of white wine. Okay, is it really about the white wine more than the horses?
I'm glad you brought this up because I have to say, this whole scene is sort of an excuse for alcoholism.
To drink as much white wine as possible.
I mean, and it's all free, as you saw. So you walk around, there's no one here is selling any alcohol. They just are shoving it on people because, you know, the stalls where people buy things, they're buying horse bits, you know, to put in the horse's mouth. And those cost $700 or something. I mean, it's just totally insane. The horseshoes that they put on these horses, you know, some of them, you know, $200.
We watch Jumpers. We watch a lot of jumping. And they're wearing Air Jordans. Gold Air Jordans. Right?
You want to give that another go?
Take two.
Take two.
I had too much white
triple
wine.
Triple banger whitening round. So I think
white whining round.
White whining round. These horses don't win any.
Four leggers. You can't hackle during these things. We found that out the hard way.
You know, when you try and hack it with heckling, that's called hackling.
Yeah, hackle. You can't. You gotta unhack the hackles.
Find this is an example of something that if I didn't have a great friend who was an equestrian, I would never seek out to watch this. But when you watch it, it's a nail biter. I mean, it's a bit of a, you're wondering is, and you saw, you almost didn't see, but you saw a horse run up to the jump and then stop.
Yeah.
Because it got scared. And so one of the reasons nail biter is if they fall, if the horse catches the jump wrong or something, they can fall over. They'll kill the rider, and the horse, if the horse breaks its leg, they have to shoot it right there on the spot. And you pay extra for that. To see
for that service.
The horse murder.
Yeah, yeah.
The herder.
I learned a lot at this event.
The Morris.
they call a castrated horse a gelding.
Is that true?
Yeah. Or as I like to call it, being married.
Ladies!
Married people? You know what I'm talking about? Single people? Take a break.
Castrated individuals? You can stay here. You can stick around. I'm going to be talking about you for a bit.
Whether you're married or not, or you're castrated, you can listen. You can stay here.
You can
listen.
Don't go. We'll be right back
after this castration. I thought it was fascinating. You have to be at one with the beast. That's the important thing, you know?
Well, and you know, I talked to Tuck. I said, well, doesn't it? It depends almost completely on the horse, right? Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, yeah. I mean, of course. And then I said, well, if you had Roger Rabbit, which was sort of his star horse that got hurt. I said, if you had Roger Rabbit, he said, I would have won this whole thing. He didn't even think about it for a second. He was like, oh, yeah, no, it'd be done. I wouldn't. You know, he's saying he would have dominated. And so it really is about the horse. And if the horse is too young, it's not ready. If the horse is too old, it's not going to have the same energy or agility or dexterity.
If it's a three-legger?
Those don't do great. Although I saw one two-leg horse, and then I found it was just an ugly woman. All right. Okay. All right, TJ.
I thought
it was a woman. It ended up being a guy.
When I got
even closer, it was a $50 pig. And I mean, I looked right up close. That was a $4 dog.
I very quickly got to like the horse pants. Although I have one complaint. Not a fan of fake pockets. And you know I have problems with pockets in the
And
first
we talked
place.
About that. And pockets. There was a very funny stand-up comic named Fiona who's in a wheelchair. She had a guest set last night. She was excellent. Excellent.
Yeah.
And dangerous. Dangerous woman. But she told us that most pockets for women are fake. False pockets.
And that's an outrage. I think even pockets that... We've talked about this on the show. You know I have a real adverse relationship with pockets because they don't do what they promise. Things fall out of pockets too often. The entire job of the pocket is to hold things. And if it doesn't have a zipper, often things fall out, which we have an agreement with pockets. Things aren't supposed to fall out. And they do all the time. So that upsets me. Now, the false pocket, where it just looks like a pocket but isn't, that is an insult and a crime against humanity.
It's untenable.
It needs to be stopped. It is untenable. You know what it is? It's not
ideal.
Not ideal. It's not ideal.
I do feel
like the horse pants. I think it shapes the bodies of the riders quite nicely.
I love pockets so much, I bought a book on the history of pockets.
Did you really?
Yeah, so that came recently. I mean, I
But you lost that book because...
It fell out of my fake pocket. No, I mean, jokes aside, I really am fascinated by the horse
culture.
Mm-hmm.
I knew you were going to go there. Yeah, the horse.
Yeah.
Well, for one thing,
horticulture.
Let's be real. The horses are just taking a dump everywhere, and doesn't seem to bother anybody.
In some ways.
Meanwhile,
I respect what Tuck does, but I think as far as what he does for a living, it's a load of horse shit.
Meanwhile, and I'm talking, a horse dump is enormous. And what's...
E-horseman.
Yeah, it is. E-horseman.
E-horseman.
When a dog takes a dump, you've got people putting bags on their hands and just... cleaning it up.
Yeah, you gotta get a shovel or
right.
Do you see some of those guys were picking up horse shit with?
But we were standing in horse
with
shit
with pitchforks.
Yeah, yeah.
We were just standing. Shovel grade pitchforks.
I think that they become immune to it. Is that correct? Did they become immune to it?
I think the biggest thing for me, is that it's such a specific way to spend your time. But people love it, and I never understand why they love it. And maybe it's my brain damage that makes it difficult for me to relate to animals. But I saw you meet Quizzo, which is Cameron's horse.
Yeah.
And I saw you kind of, like, fall in love. I mean, you really were fascinated by the animals.
I do like horses a lot better than I did 2 hours ago. I think they're very cool animals. I've been a little bit...
And Kate loves horses. I didn't say anything because you're not supposed to, but Kate's horse that she grew up... with Beckett, he's gonna die this year.
Oh no!
And he's an old horse. He was my favorite. When you looked, here's why people like horse. When you look in the horse's eye, that's why we don't eat them. When you look in the horse's eye, you can tell its intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's smart. And when I would interact with Beckett, Kate's horse, I mean, you can see the intelligence of the animal sort of saying, I know who you are, I know what's going on.
I know that your pockets don't hold things. You could see the horse thinking that.
But, you know, and the weird thing about horses is they're smart, but they're not, I mean, besides Mr. Ed, they're not so smart, but humans interact with them really well. And I think that they appreciate, you know, they like to have the shelter and the food and everything that they get from being...
Yeah.
You know, but they're codependent. But I thought for a while when it seemed like I was going to be very, very wealthy, I thought that Tuck and I would have a few horses and he would have a horse that he rides and Kate would have a horse or two with him and that type of thing. So I thought that I might have been, you know, dipping a toe in this world. But it was so fun to see him, but it's a nail biter. But I mean, could you imagine going to 50 or 60 of these things a year? I mean, it's pretty boring.
It'd be exhausting.
It's like golf.
His horse's name was Cash, which confused me at first. Tuck's horse.
Well, what I thought was strange was when he first saw you, he just hopped on and started riding around.
But people kept mentioning the
and
horse.
And you wouldn't
Cash.
Stop whinnying. Is that a verb? I think What is bizarre is that it is something that only rich people do, but they're all just trotting through manure and drinking cheap white wine and riding around in golf carts. And I just can't stop laughing about that.
Yeah.
And it's all spoiled little girls. There's no boys. Did you see any boys? The only riders are usually either trainers or sort of dads that decided to get into it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other thing is it really isn't, you know, Ruckus is a athlete. I mean, he's
he rides
every day for, I don't know, 6 to 10 hours a day.
Really?
Yeah. And that's why he eats whatever he wants. He eats Cheese Whiz sandwiches with onions on them. I mean, he just eats, he'll eat an entire pizza at the end of the day. Whole.
Yeah.
Large pizza.
Yeah.
But it's,
now you're kind of remembering him from college, though. So are we sure he's still doing all this?
Yes.
Yeah.
I spoke to him a couple days ago. And he did that exact thing.
And he was still,
he's just wolfing it down. But he is one of those guys who, you know, I think he was never hurt, but he was on the cover of Practical Horseman. He's known as one of the great riders. I think he had his sights set on the Olympics, being an Olympian for Canada. And this is one of those strange sports. Would you call it a sport?
Yeah.
This is one of those strange sports where it has to do with him and his skill and acumen, but also he needs a prize winning horse, and those horses cost between $1 million and $7 million.
Wow. And so that's if like he more can't, than I'm making this weekend.
Well, let's wait till the end of the second show. So. But it's, you know, you're looking at a sport where he needs to find someone who's got $3 million of spare change to sort of put into. And so he had a horse, Roger Rabbit. The horse got hurt. And when that horse got hurt, I remember he sort of, you could feel him being like, well, you know, this was my shot. This is my horse. And so now he trains. It's kind of, you know, those who can't teach. But no, it's, you know, so he rides. And what did the girl say? She said he's a, it's not a teacher. It's a, and he trains. He's a trainer.
Right.
And so, you know, he trains, and then what he's doing now, he's so famous in the horse community, is that he's judging. And so he goes and he judges competitions like this. I mean, if you're judging these things, I mean, you do baseball stuff, so you see how those parents try and ingratiate themselves to you. Imagine if people are coming to you going, you know, if you'd like, I have a buddy who can hook you up with a Lexus. If you want to, you know, I'll cover the first year at the least, but my daughter, I'm really gunning for my daughter to win this year. There's that type of throwing around, that's thrown around.
It was an interesting experience. I had never seen anything like it. So it was a fun way to spend the Saturday. I wasn't expecting this today. And again, it's always unexpected.
And you almost didn't come.
Well, I'm glad I did. And I do want to get back to, before we land this mothership, we got to talk about the poster. So the idea is to put the poster up tonight. Do you have it framed already?
Yeah, the girls that did it for me at Busy Bee Printing, BB Printing, here in Nashville, Tennessee, are...
And how are you going to make sure no one sees it when you put it up? We just lock the green room door?
But so here's the one thing. We didn't have time, and I'm wondering what you think about you know, I'm wondering what you think about this. Should we stop at a hardware store on the way home?
There might be something at the condo, because I saw some things.
There's no iron in the condo.
That's true. Good point. There's no iron. There's no beds.
We've been sleeping on the kitchen counter.
It's just a door. Yeah. There's an ironing board.
What do you think about those stools that you sit
on? So at the condo, there's a sort of a countertop, which is about neck high. It's very high countertop.
Very
and then they
high.
Managed to find two
almost,
stools.
Almost too high.
they managed to find two stools that are probably knee high. So you really can't eat there at all. But you're going to put it up tonight, and you think it'll take them within 2 days to notice. I think it's going to take them at least a month.
Well, where we're putting it also is different. It's in a corner,
right.
And it's high up.
I don't think they're
going
to notice.
Great, it really is a great position for
but
it
I
to
But I think
be
it'll
in.
Take even longer for them to really understand what the joke is.
Really?
Yeah, I think that the joke that really we're bragging about selling out a Thursday night show at Zany's, right? It says Thursday on the poster.
Yeah.
Now, I think you need to, when we release this episode, release the picture of the poster. Because hopefully, if by then they haven't, if they've already noticed. But the joke is that on Thursday, TJ sold out Zany's. And it's like a concert poster. I think it's hilarious, and I do think you should consider doing it everywhere.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you mind if we stop at a Home Depot really quickly?
No, I mean, whatever you need to do. I could stay with the equipment here.
Yeah, I think we got to do this. Song, do you think there's a way that we could stop here?
Yes,
it could be some hours. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're gonna try and let me know when you're ready. Home Depot has really been my comrade in arms. 2535 Powell, Powell Avenue. And it's on the way, so it'll take us, yeah, just a bit here. You know, I think that we need to. You know, I think what's very funny about it is that it's kind of a joke on the club for having those all up. It's a joke on... but I think a big part of what I think is so funny about it is it's also kind of a... I'm championing all the people that have to go in there and think, you know, I hate looking at all these success because
right.
It's sort of a joke of
right.
Like... And the hinges on the Thursday. If I said the whole weekend was sold out, then that's not really that funny.
It kind of seems like you actually are bragging if you do it that way. The question was, should the poster say just Thursday or only Thursday?
Right, we talked about
that
a lot.
Which we chose against.
And we, first of all, just Thursday isn't true. But we thought about it and we think, you know, we call it, it's gilding the lily.
Right.
Which is, it's just going a little too
far.
Too
obvious. It's what's funny about this poster.
It's telling the audience that it's funny when you really just, if it's funny, then the audience will notice.
Look, there's a percentage of people that are going to see the poster, not read it closely enough to know that it's a joke. And that's okay.
That's what I'm hoping. And the only thing I wanted, all the posters were made from this place called Hatch Printing. So they're actually on like parchment paper or something.
Yeah.
So, but I called those people and they said our turnaround is 18 months and I kind of said, look, you know, what's it going to take to get this done? And they didn't want to hear that at all. They were kind of like, are you the Allman Brothers? Because we wouldn't even do this for them.
Yeah, there's an Allman Brothers poster in the green room also.
But
how the Allman Brothers sold out.
But I think...
Sold out in Nashville.
With the... I mean, they sold out metaphorically also. They sold out commercialism. I wish I hadn't said that because it wasn't funny.
You just said it.
It's a cooking show. I think that...
you see what I did there?
The joke there... You know what I'm talking about. The
Carpenters? You know what I'm talking about. Cooking show people?
Hammer,
take a break.
Hammer salesman? Give me a call. I need to buy a hammer. I think that in the that in some ways, the fact that it is from another printing company that isn't like is also part of the joke. And then the frame looks similar, but it's really ugly.
How much is this all going to run you? This joke. You commit to your jokes. Yeah, we're already in for $350. We're already in for $350 for the firecrackers. What are we in for this one?
I would say most of the money I make this weekend will go to this joke.
How much is it going to be all in?
I don't know, $25,000, $32,000.
Hey, it's worth it.
No, I think it's free because I got them tickets to the show. So I think that's worth it.
Got it.
And it's fun for them to see the show, and then they'll go to the green room, and they can see what the joke is.
Can we talk? Can we talk two-handed handshake? Can we just delve in there for a second? Been getting some two-handed handshakes this week. That's where you shake the hand. The second hand comes in on top of the first hand. To me, that's sincere. I don't have a problem with it.
You like
but
that.
But we talked about this. When the hand goes up the elbow, it's too much. It's too much.
You shouldn't be touching the arm.
Yeah. It goes when the hand goes up, slides up the elbow, I feel like it's overkill.
It's too much.
Yeah. And so I think we need to get that under control. I also don't want to hug people I've just met.
Really?
Can we throw that into the mix? Yeah. I don't... It's a tiny opinion. Don't... I think we're getting too comfortable with the hugs. You know?
I think so. I don't... You know, I'm trying... Maybe I'll do this joke tonight, but I'm trying to do a joke about how...
I think we should
some women,
be on a first-name basis for a hug.
Some women will say... some women will say, I'm a hugger. Get in here. They don't want to shake. I'm a hugger.
It doesn't make me a hugger.
Men can't do that.
Yeah, that's true. That
doesn't
make me want to hug.
No, that does not.
How about
work.
The hug where both parties are so uncomfortable for anything that will be misconstrued that both parties are almost reaching over so that no body parts are actually touching, but you make this gesture of hugging? You see that? That's sort of the praying mantis.
Yeah, the
hug.
Praying mantis of
almost.
Hugs. Yeah, sure. Where you
the
eat your husband.
Hug. The mantis hug, where you actually reach over. You don't want any part
your
of your chest or body's touching. That we don't need that either. I just think that I think it should be a real compliment if you liked each other enough to hug at the end of a evening of conversations with someone. But it shouldn't happen too quick. So that, my friends, is the two-handed handshake diatribe. Okay? And now we're doing all this in a taxi cab.
Is what we call it. On the streets.
These shows are becoming very
casual.
Did you get
my video?
Of me dancing?
No, you didn't. Did you get the video of I was in a car in Birmingham?
Oh, yeah, singing, taking it to the streets. That was awesome.
Taking
it
to the streets.
Yeah. Yeah, TJ was driving with somebody.
For the first time I found out, your rendition of that is not accurate.
Yeah, no, he was in a car
with
a driver, and he videoed it. In fact, you know what? Can I put that on Facebook, too?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I just wanted to ask permission. That was really funny. Because TJ was talking to the driver, and he was like, you know, I have a buddy. This is one of his favorite songs. And then you started singing along.
I can't believe I'm the one to reveal this to the...
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
I don't even think that's in the song.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Telling me the things you wanna
ask. It's not in the song.
I slam it and all like what I think I say. Take it to the tweets. Ha hoo ha hoo ha hoo. Get it to the tweets. He hoo ha hoo ha hoo. Take it to the tweets.
It
you don't know me.
The
but
actual
I'm
song
your
couldn't sound less like what you're.
Well, look, this all started when we talked about how there was a time where Michael McDonald was in every song in the 80s. He would just be like, Michael McDonald's in that song too? He would just... He would do cameos on every song. I don't know if that's
really
called a cameo in music. Is that... He would do a...
What is that called? It's
we do a couple stanzas, maybe something like that.
Feature?
Yeah, they would feature him.
Right, a guest spot? I don't know what it is. What do you think about the comedians in Nashville this weekend? Because we've had quite a few. We had a guy, Thomas.
I've enjoyed the people that we've had on the shows.
Zach and Fiona.
Yeah.
And then let me,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Before we get to Home Depot, one more quick question. You ready? Has anyone ever got stung by a bee and not told anybody?
Were being stung?
No, just afterwards, sometime that day or the next day. Can you get stung by a bee and not mention it to someone? It's noteworthy enough to mention it. Am I right?
You're saying if you've been stung by a bee...
Invariably, you're going to tell somebody.
Would you never mention it?
Right. Kind of person...
How about this? Let me ask this. Did you know that I was stung by a wasp twice?
You never told me that. Same
in
wasp?
In the last month or two? Yeah, I mean, it was my own fault for living with him. We were roommates, college roommates. No, I got stung by a wasp that I decided not to kill. I saw this bug, and I go, that looks like a wasp, but I don't know if it is, and I'm not going to kill it because Kate... And so then it's in the bathroom, and then I got up and I went to wash my hands, and the wasp stung me in the foot. So I spared its life.
She showed mercy
on
the wasp.
And it stung me.
And it came back and bit you.
So then I had to kill it.
What did we learn?
And then a second wasp, a couple days later, stung me also.
That wasp, they was just attempting a two-handed handshake.
He was touching elbows and butching bellbows.
Did you tell anyone?
I didn't tell you.
I know, but I mean, I haven't seen you in a while. Did you tell Kate?
You
probably told somebody.
Does anyone not tell anybody?
Right. That is the mark of a true, you know who I think would?
Yeah. A beekeeper.
Okay. Well, it probably happens so often.
A beekeeper.
It becomes not very noteworthy.
So often. Nobody wants to have a friend who's a beekeeper that's always saying, so guess what happened to me today? I got stung.
Which
by
reminds
a bee.
Me to ask you.
It's like,
this
well,
is,
then quit keeping bees.
Which reminds
baby.
Me. This reminds me of our next triple banger lightning round question. Question one. Question
four,
one.
Two, one.
Bees?
Ow! I'm not telling anybody.